Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's commit the sharing to the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege, O God, that we can gather to sing our songs of worship to you, Amen. To give praises to you for all that you have done on the cross of Calvary for us. Father, we are so blessed, O God. We are so honored. Truly, Lord, it is you, Lord, that's why we are here, Lord. It is your love for Amen. Us and thy care for us that has brought us here. Lord, Amen. This morning, Lord, I pray that thou take control of the sharing, Lord. Yes. And may you bless the hearers, O God, Amen. And let your spirit speak to the hearts.
Amen.
Father, I thank you, Lord, and I invite thy presence.
Yes.
I commit the sharing to you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. I'd like to thank our international brothers and sisters for joining us. And truly, I also like to thank Sister Lucy for the song.
Amen.
And it's really touching my heart. We are all of age. And then as we come to the last part of our life, when we are coming to the end, it's nothing like, you know, giving our best to the Lord and do our best for the last flick,
Amen.
Right? All for His glory. I was listening to the first part of the sharing by Brother James Veromu on true worship. I didn't get to finish it, but I was really touched when Brother Jeremu started with, you know, the one that sent me here, he's gone off with the Lord. And he started from Brother Gan down to all the pastors and ministers that he has met and he has traveled. Everyone has gone to the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And he says that it is really so wonderful. When he goes, he got a lot of friends waiting for him to receive him. I praise the Lord for that. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord gave us a victory where he say here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, why did the Lord came for this purpose did the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The reason the Lord has actually came is to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? You can see that Satan will never leave us alone. He will strive to tear us apart, and he will strive to break down every single part in our lives to destroy us. We all know his the way he comes and the way he attacks. Let us take a look at the life of King David. The woman Samuel anointed him and actually poured the anointing of oil on him. Okay? And the Lord is with him. The Spirit of the Lord is with King David. Did he get to reach and become a king immediately? No. It took him 20 years before the Lord has actually worked on him and bring him to a stage where he's king. It's the same for us. When the Lord came into our lives, he promised us victory. He promised us the ability to destroy the works of the devil. But the journey is only a beginning when you come into the faith in the Lord. Wherever we are, the life that we have, the blessings that we receive of the Lord, the trials and the testing that comes our way, there are many things sometimes we ask why. We keep wondering why. But when we come to the Lord, just like what King David did, okay, there's no way he's able to tell when God is going to give him the kingdom. Okay? He just has to remember what God has been telling him. He's the one that gave the word. He will fulfill it. the rest of the events, the problems that we are facing, the kind of trials that we must overcome, how can we go about doing that? Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 4. We read from verse 17 to 21. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen. The Lord was given the Spirit of the Lord in his fullness, where he can actually fill with the anointing of God to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted and to give deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How can this be achieved? It can only be achieved when we realize that it is not us, it is not my ability, it is not my strength, and it is not the person, the brethren, or the people, or the family, or the environment that is causing this on you. If we always can understand that every point in our life when we are walking with the Lord, there is a purpose for us and for God to put us through. Why? Because we know that when God put us through the furnace of fire to prepare us such that we will yield to his molding. You know, when the potter makes the clay, it has to be at the right turning speed, softness, to for it to mold to the shape that it is to be done. That is exactly what we must realize, that in this life, how can we overcome our bruise, our hurt, the kind of despair, the kind of frustration that we are facing, the kind of hurt that we are getting. How can we do that? It is in the Lord. Then we ask the question, well, the Lord has promised us, so it is the Lord's part that is doing, then what is our part? Right? Where do we stand in the relationship with God? In God's eyes. You look at King David. When he was doing his best to behave himself right in the military, such that he wouldn't overstep his authority, and he tried to do whatever he can for the brethren, right? For his own children of Israel, to protect them. Okay? Yet, Satan never let him alone, and Saul came after him. Just all out to kill him. But the Lord is the one watching over him. He gave him Jonathan, raised him up to help him. He gave him when he was faced with a situation where he has to run all the way to the enemies, to the Philistines. Okay? I always like that 1 Samuel 22, which I shared 2 weeks ago, that you will be going through the same situation in this growth in the Lord. The more you ask yourself, how can I be closer to the Lord? How can I be able to have the Spirit of God to help me overcome my trials or overcome my hurt? It is where you'll be like King David. The trials and the affliction Remember, the Lord says that I'm the captain of your salvation, right? And captain of your suffering. Because it is the trials and the suffering that you go through that you realize yourself where you have not surrendered to the Lord. The Lord says that when you reach a stage of desperation, when you reach a stage where you realize you just can't do it anymore. Can you imagine to reach a stage where the people that you are with all out to kill you? That's what happened to King David. All the families, all the loved ones that they came were all taken by the Amorites. And they thought they're all dead. And everyone is so discouraged. And they just cannot get over their emotion. Okay? And they are all out to kill King David. And what did King David do? What can he do? He can only encourage himself and turn to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, do I go after them? Right? Then that is what the Lord is telling us. The victory, the victory and the way to fight against the trials and the suffering and the difficulty that just like King David is to turn to the Lord. Why? You realize that the children of Israel, whenever they are blessed, right? Whenever God bless them, they will forget the Lord. Whenever they are doing well, prospering, they will neglect the Lord. Right? And they will again fall into idolatry. And it is exactly this that the Lord is saying, I'm going to put you through your trials. I'm going to remove everything that you have. Right? Right? So that you will know that I'm the Lord and I keep my word. Right? Because if you go against my word, I'm going to punish you, right? And let you know who is God. It is the same period where when the Babylonians took all the children of Israel, and Jeremiah was in it, right? Among all the captives being sent all the way to Babylon. And the Lord told them that you should take my punishment and take this trial that I'm giving to the children of Israel for 70 years, they'll be captives there. Right? And when you are there, right, then you will know that whatever I prophesied and warned the children of Israel regarding their idolatry, their abominations that they have done, right, I will execute my judgment. That is our God. He's a great and almighty God. Okay? And he will execute his judgment and his word stands true. Okay? So each and every one of us must know your position and know what can I do to overcome and to really learn. But the secret is, if our Lord can do it, so can we. Okay? I gave you the glimpse of the Old Testament where they all had the privilege, right, to know that God is God. You know the raising of the widow's son by Elijah, right? The Lord promised us, what did the Lord promise us? In Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The Lord promised us way in the beginning that we will have dominion over all this. And how is this possible? We all know that the Lord promised us that when we accept Him as our personal Savior and we came into this walk with Him, He that is in us, greater is He that is in us than he that is of the world. You must realize that this journey, this relationship that we have is between you and the Lord. This relationship has to reach a stage where whatever it takes and whatever Satan goes against you and tear you apart, you have to reach a state like King David, right? Who am I? I look to the Lord. Right? And when God takes over, He will see you through and lift you up. So, in our inadequacy, in our human weakness. There are many things that will always hinder us, especially when we use our mind, use our emotion, use our feelings, you know, and use our what we call human understanding to try and solve problems. And that is exactly how the devil will attack us. The devil don't need to attack you like King David and all two warring nations and then trying to kill you. No, no, no. It is within the life that you have, that you're walking with the Lord. God is dealing with you and He's telling you that where do you stand with respect to Him and with respect to His Word. Remember, in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, I don't need anyone to teach you, right? I'll put my spirit in you, correct? And you will know of me, right? And you will understand me. We all can read the Word of God, right? We all know the promises of God. But there's something that we need to claim and look at. That is, how can I have that victory which the Lord says that I must be able to understand how to submit to the Lord? And when you overcome your trials and your affliction, you got to do it right. It is not your effort, correct? It is not your pride. It is not your hurts or things that you have to settle. It is not. It is the Lord. When King David was given the opportunity to kill King Saul, he said, no, who am I? Correct? Each and every one of us are privileged, right, to be a child of God. Who am I to condemn a brother or to destroy a brother? It's not in me. It is the Lord that is dealing with each and every one of us. And that is very important because the way that we walk in the Lord and the way that we approach the Lord, you have to be conscious of what the Lord wants us to be able to do. Let me give you the acronym NICER, N-I-C-E-R, right? When the Lord deals with us, it is something that we have to really remember that, remember to know what we are doing in every stage in time. Before I go there, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, reading from verse 31 and 30. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord told Simon that Satan had desire to have you, and his intent is to sift you as wheat. Did the Lord tell Simon that, don't worry, I'll take it away from you? He didn't. Right? We all know what happened to Simon. He was so sure of himself, so adamant, right? But he failed. He denied the Lord thrice. And he repented. He cried his heart out, right? And the Lord told him, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So this is exactly the key to any trials, affliction, sufferings that we might be going through. Our faith in the Lord must fall through. You might not know the answer. You might not know why. You know, it can be very embarrassing, very, very sad to talk about it. But yet, you have to go through it. And sometimes when you can't find the reason why, don't end up blaming everybody else, right? And trying to justify the fault of others for you to kind of like feel better. You know, condemn somebody else so that you feel better. Don't do that. Let your faith look to the Lord like King David and say then, encourage yourself and hold on to the Lord. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This is something that we are all given that same words that the Lord is saying. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So the acronym NICER, the N that I'm talking about is, in this walk with the Lord, there's no compromise. When God says that this is the authority of His word, right? This is His ordained word, we have to follow. There's no compromise of you trying to undermine the authority of God to say that mine is better. You know what I mean? Don't do that. You look at... I always remember when Naaman was asking Elisha to take the gifts, you know, and then when Elisha said no, he tried to give it to Gehazi, right? And that the devil actually gave that temptation right in front of him, and Gehazi failed. He went after the gifts, right? And when you go after your gift for the rewards of the things of this world, the devil is the god of this world, or you want to be as plenty to give you. You know what I mean? And you go after it, you realize that the leprosy that was on Naaman is on him. So that is how the devil works. He will tempt you to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, or the pride of life, whatever it is, correct? And pull you away from taking your eyes from the word of God. We are human. Of course, we have limited memory. We can't remember everything, right? And I must confess that I'm very poor in recalling things, right? That's my weakness. So it is not something that I enjoy, right? Not something that I want to be proud of, but something I have to stand to be careful and to guard against what I say and what I hear or what I recall. It's because I sometimes call wrongly facts, correct? And that is no good. Then where's the way for me to overcome? The Lord says that in His promises that He has given, there's so much of His word that He has given. Where is your faith? How do you take the promises of God? Okay? You know, when we approach the Lord and we try, you know, pray to the Lord and ask. Do you know that before you can even start your prayer, the Lord knows what you're going to pray for, correct? Yeah. So, when you go to the Lord, you don't have to tell the Lord, you know, Lord, I think you should heal this brother, you know, because he's in trouble, you know, maybe you're not aware, you know, that he has this problem, and then don't do that. You are not in the right relationship with God. You must know your master, your Lord, Savior, and Master. He knows exactly what. The problem is always you. Right? It's your relationship with God. You have to recognize where the things that need to be set right, and you have to respond to it. The second in the word nicer is I. You must have the integrity. Know what the Lord told Abraham, right? You can only be sincere and get the people to believe you. Nothing will stand in your way. Your sincerity with the Lord in finding time for the Lord, correct? In coming to sit down with the Lord and meditate on His words. Many times we come to a fellowship and then after that, the morning at the middle of the day, people was shed this morning, I cannot remember, correct? You know how fast Satan can take it away from you, the word of God? You have to maintain that desire to honor God, that desire to have the presence of God. Don't give disrespect to God. The Lord has always been there for us. It's here, right? We must give Him due respect every moment, every part of our life. it is very difficult for us when we are in this human body to maintain the spiritual attention and the physical attention. You know what I mean? It's like what I see in Isaac. He will go in the cool of the evening and he will talk to the Lord and meditate to the Lord. That's the kind of time. That's the kind of importance that you must place on your relationship with God. When you are so close to the Lord, you understand His will rather than your will. You will understand why He makes you go through this. Okay? Then that will be able to really move your heart to do the things according to the will of God. What did our Lord say when he was actually growing up from a baby all the way to 12 years old? Correct? We can take a look at what He said. I must be about my Father's business. Okay? And He was at the temple when He was 12 years old. And He was there so much so that He forgot to follow His parents out of the temple. Correct? And when they couldn't find Him, they went back to Him. They asked Him, "Do you know we are so worried for you? We've been searching and so anxious. What happened to you?" And and the Lord told him, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" What was Father's business? It's for Him to learn the Word of God. Right? To dwell on it. And the kind of questions that He asked to the scribes and the Pharisees, they were all amazed. The kind of knowledge and the depth that He has. And after He has learned this, what was His intent, right? When He did this, when the Lord actually was baptized by John the Baptist, the Lord says that, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Okay? And learning the Word of God is for you to use against the devil. Straight away, He was sent to the desert for 40 days. And it's simple, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. The Word of God must be meaningful to you, must make sense to you, must connect to you. It's not something that... it is an experience where we can see in the dark ages, when God speaks to you, nothing will be able to take away the experience from you, even though they kill you and they burn you on the stake of fire. That is how the kind of experience that we must have. The Word of God must be real to you. Eh? And when God says, you do not need to interpret for Him. You know what I mean? You do not need to try to make the meaning of it. So, brothers and sisters, it is your personal relationship and your walk with the Lord that you must guard. Why? The victory is in the Lord. The strength and the power is in the Lord. It's not you. But how much do you know who you are? And how much do you use that to overcome all the burdens that you have? It is... We will... Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." The Lord is the one that has chosen you, not you chose the Lord. Okay? It is God that has called you, and not only He has called you, He ordained you that you should bring forth the fruits, right, for His glory. What was Jesus' food that He gets strength from? The disciple says, "Have you eaten?" He says, "My food is to do the will of the Father." What is God's will for us as a child of God? is for us, right? To bring glory to His name, to preach the gospel to the sinners, and to show them the glory of God. Right? Matthew 28:19 and all the Great Commission. Then, how do we do that? It's the life that you live. The life that you manifest and the victory that you overcome because you know how to depend on the Lord. Never fight the battle taking it into your own hands or be influenced by the people around you, right? When they suggest to you to do this, do that. Don't. You learn to listen to the word of God. King David, when Absalom was so powerful, right? Deep in his heart, he always believed in this. He has every power within him to actually kill his own son that is rebelling against him. No issue about that. Right? But what was deep in his heart? Right? That he might get repentance. He might realize that he's wrong. Right? That he might know that there is a God that he should fear. Because the throne that was given is by God. It's not by man. So he packed and moved out. And the Benjamite that cursed him. And they throw stone at him and curse him. And you know, the three sons that his warrior, right, Abishan, I think was telling him, let me go across and chop the head of this Benjamite. Why are you bearing with this cursing and all the stone throwing? And King David told him, what is it to be? Right? Right? If the Lord think that this is good for me, right, then all glory to the Lord. Maybe the Lord will take pity on me. Right? With all the cursing and the stone throwing, that he will look into my heart. He continued. Okay? And when the, you know, King David is in a very unique stage where he, within himself and Joab, okay, Joab is his commander. It's very clear. Joab, what he wants is, he wants to be the commander. The three sons, the three warriors. He killed, he's willing to go to the stand of backstab the anybody that stand in his way. So he actually murdered twice. One was the commander of Israel, right, that was trying to come. He backstabbed him and killed him. The other one was Absalom commander, which he actually backstabbed also killed. So the behavior of Joab is very clear. Okay? But King David has all his authority to deal with him. But he didn't. And sometimes we ask, why? There are many questions we wish to why, want to know why. But it is not for us, right, to try to understand how God deals with us. But you must look to the Lord, right? God says that it is not in me, okay, to actually destroy. I will go, I rather have grace and mercy, okay? I will go all out. The problem is, the Syrian Israel is so rebellious until they downright say they rather die than had listen to the grace and the mercy of God. I give you the illustration of when Jesus came on the scene, he went to in nine town, and that is in the book of Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gates of the city, behold, there was a dead man, carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And the Lord saw her, and he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. The purpose of the first miracle was for God to draw the attention of everybody. The second incident of raising the dead is chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. But we will not read all. We go to chapter 8. Now, just take note that this one is slightly more, okay, maybe we just read it, so in verse, chapter 8, verse 40, and it came to pass when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, and he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, the issue of blood, that one we can skip. We go down to verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Amen. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straight away, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they would tell no man what was done. This is the second incident which the Lord did. Okay? The first one was a widow, he had compassion. The second one is a ruler of synagogue. Okay? And the third one is Lazarus. That is found in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And we will go straight to verse 41 and 42. Why I bring up the three, the raising of the dead? Lazarus was the most elaborate. When he heard that he was not well, he didn't go until he died. And 4 days later, that he reached. Okay? And when they told him, he asked them to remove and call him out. Do you know that God did this for the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Just to show them that the living testimony that is standing in front of you of the dead risen, this one is 4 days in the tomb, okay? And he can come out. What was he telling them? He was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it is God who is trying to show you. If you don't believe in him, believe in the signs that he's doing, right? But what was their conclusion in John 11, verse 41 and 42? 41 and 42 was the raising of the dead. But their conclusion was they give up. Since he's so popular, right?
we will kill him. Not only kill him, we also kill Lazarus so that the story cannot be told. Right? That's the kind of the mind of the... That's how bad Satan can blind the mind of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And it is fulfilling scriptures. And we must know that when the Lord speak to us and tell us what he can do, we see learning from him. He has that compassion, right, for those that are dead. Okay? The human has the compassion to tell them, you have to believe, to give even the ruler of the synagogue, someone who knows the word of God, correct, and leading the people, to let him know, willing to even give you this miracle, so that he will know that there is. And the last one, right, is to show, right, that he, God has kept his promise. All dominion is given to him, right? He can tell the storm at the Sea of Galilee is still no storms, right? He can even take the bread and multiply, feed the 5,000. Where do we see such miracles? None. Okay? It's all in the hand of God. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important for us to know the position we are in the Lord, the promise God is giving has given us. He didn't give us something that we cannot claim. We go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4. Well, we can read from verse 3 and 4 downwards. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we can should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, the love of God that is always being manifested through sending his Son to die on the cross on Calvary for us, giving us salvation free, where we have no excuse, right, to say that we don't have an avenue to go and talk to the Lord. When he died on the cross and he said it is finished, the veil of the temple split too. Correct? What is hindering us from entering into the Lord? He's our high priest, always at the right hand of God, interceding for us. He's a propitiation for us for all the mistakes that we make, all the faults that we have. Correct? He's always there. But each and every one of us must remember this. He's teaching you, right? He's showing you to learn to have that relationship. So if I can bring you back to the word nicer, so what is the C? You must have the compassionate heart in relationship. This compassion that you have, you must always remember that as the Lord was compassionate to the widow, right? Okay? It's the same, we ought to have compassion for one another, for we are all in this journey, being saved by the devil, right? And all the trials and testing that we are facing, we have to hold on to the faith. And when we are converted, strengthen your brother. Okay? That is exactly what the Lord was telling us. We are in him. He set the example. He's our elder brother, right? That's the first one. And he's always there for every one of us. He chose us and he said we will make it, correct? And this is the journey of learning. This is the pathway that we got to make sure we destroy the works of the devil, right? So when we are looking at our relationship with the Lord, if we are troubled with anxiety, worry, the devil and his three stooges is always, the first one, the first D is doubt,
No, it cannot be, you know, things of the Lord, you know. Correct? Any testimonies that you give, they will say that, no, you, it's like when we pray to the Lord, says, "Lord, I didn't bring my umbrella, it stopped the rain." It happens, right? Okay, you tell that to someone else, no, it's your laziness, give you 1,001 reasons, you know, who asked you not to bring umbrella, that kind of thing. But it is actually the relationship, you know. Don't doubt, right? Don't be despair. That's the second studio. He will create you in a situation of desperation. The more you desire for something of this world, right? Or you desire for something that... And that's the problem with us. You get into a despair because, say, Lord, I think I can do it better than you. You didn't do it this way. That's why I'm so desperate. If you have given me this, it shouldn't be that bad. Correct? It's because nothing works. Everything failed. Correct? Right? And the trust gets worse and worse. The more you put in your effort, the more you try to do it. So, that's how the devil will push you to your limit. He said, he promised you, right? They promise you blessings, joy, happiness. But don't forget, you want to achieve and get it, you have to submit to the Lord. If you don't submit to the Lord, it will not work. And how does the sieving of the wheat go? You will be pushed to a period of desperation. It's not going to be easy. Okay? Right? And you can see the kind of challenges that each of us might face are all different. It is exactly the way we need to open up our hearts and surrender every part of us to God that God is putting you through the trial and the affliction. You must have the trials and the affliction because that's where your faith is strengthened. That's where you learn to submit. You realize that it's not you, it's the Lord. So sometimes, how do I put it, when we are caught up in a situation of anger, frustration, and you're so upset, you know what will cure the whole thing? Time. You just have to wait. Your anger cannot always be there. It cannot last so long. Correct? Yeah. Time will heal. That's what the Lord is saying. Is that, can God deal with children of Israel in different places? Time is with the Lord. We don't have the time. We only as a little bit of a... Okay, let's take a look at Hezekiah. We go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Hezekiah is a beautiful story. Okay? And we know when the Lord was working on him, okay, we find in Hezekiah chapter 38, Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." It's a very, very key message that the Lord always says, set thy house in order. Right? Because you shall die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years." I always wonder, how did he pray? The answer is from his below, his prayer. How did Isaiah pray? In verse 9. We will come to that. But anyway, the Lord straight away, we may read the verses immediately, right? But maybe jump to verse 9. The writings of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick, was recovered of his sickness. I say, Hezekiah said that, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I say, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with the pinning sickness from day even to night. Will thou make an end of me? I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones from the day even to the night. Will thou make an end of me? Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did moan as a bird. My eyes filled with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. So oppression is what the devil will use against you in any trials and affliction you are going through. He will oppress you and oppress you. Verse 15, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Hezekiah says, the Lord has spoken it. Correct? What can I say? I can only go softly, right, in the bitterness of my soul. Bitterness is another thing that the devil will bring into your suffering and your agony and forever make you bitter against what you have done. And King Hezekiah says in verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So will thou recover me and make me to live? Behold, for peace I have great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee. As I do this day, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the string instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. That's how King Hezekiah turned the heart of the Lord. Not only did he realize that it's the Lord that is able, more than able, to turn your bitterness, and his love for you is always there. Yeah? And he would remove all this from you. What is the key in verse 17? He has forgiven you of all your sins. How can the Lord forgive you of your sins? You have to confess and face your sins, right? And tell the Lord that you have done wrong. And that's how wonderful and kind the Lord is. You can find when we are studying the book of Hosea, Hosea was asked to marry the wife that will go into adultery, but the Lord is more than willing to take her back. He told the prophet Hosea to take her back. It's how much the Lord loves you. Okay? And in the mind of God, it is that relationship that you have. So when Peter gone through that hurt and the realization, okay, the pain and the agony, the hurt that he has gone through, he turned to the Lord and told the Lord, right, that he remembered and he never let his
faith failed him, right? He continued to hold on to his faith, and the Lord lifted him up. And when he came on the day of Pentecost, right? Who was the one that spoke up?
It was Peter,
right? So this is how much the Lord loved and cared for him and helped him up. So the other part of the Lord that we must learn is the living and the living that shall praise the Lord. You know the Bible says that God dwell on the praise of his saints, right? The Lord loved, right, the praises and the worship from his children. This is exactly what the Lord wants. He wants his children to have that spontaneity, to praise him for all that he has done for them. This is something that we all must know. God came to have that perfect relationship with us. And he gave our Lord Jesus Christ as the example for us. And he gave us all the promises, right? So that we can reach the state of holiness and able to overcome and be liberated from all the works of the devil. It is what he wants us to do. We go to the book of Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 6 to 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You must recognize the warfare we are fighting. The current warfare, as we found in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, is a spiritual warfare. Where is the battlefield? The battlefield is in your mind. Right? All the stress, oppression, pain and hurt is all in the mind. Right? And when you are, the devil is like a roaring lion, it's not going to leave you alone. It will keep on biting on you. Okay? And how do you overcome? You have to learn to cast all your cares on the Lord. In 1 Peter, First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Day in and day out, throughout the New Testament, God is always promising us with wonderful promises. In the book of Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things. We can go there. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So the secret is through Christ. The Lord. The Lord is the one that is going to see you through. Treasure that relationship with the Lord. Be able to go to a stage where you can enter into the Spirit of the Lord and you feel His presence whenever you approach Him. The secret is, we keep hearing it again and again. Another one, the Lord says, abide in Christ. Remember? And that is in John 15 verse 7. Abide in me. It's all, Lord is always there for us. And he promised us and says, how can you do it? You have to abide in me. Right? So in John chapter 15 verse 7, we keep hearing it many a times and it's being shared and preached over the pulpit, but you must bring the word of God to remembrance. You must always, daily, and whenever you can, as often as you should, walk in the presence of God. In John 15 verse 7, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Why is it that when we ask, never get done? Right? you have to learn to abide in the Lord, right? Then, why is it you never get them? We ask amiss. Because we do not know the Word of God, what God's will is. Correct? So, the Lord says, I give you all the promises. Is it possible for you to destroy the works of the devil? What did the Lord? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Isn't it wonderful? It is the Lord that will cause us to triumph in Christ, to have the victory, and you will smell the sweet smelling savor of our knowledge of the Lord. Right? The Lord says, cast all your cares upon me. Abide in me. Let my word dwell in you. Believe in my word. Okay? And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All these promises are there for you. Correct? You must realize that this is what the devil is always snatching away from. How do we get this and hold on to it? You must recognize that in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The sanctification process that we have to go through, the learning, the submission, and the surrendering of our lives to the Lord is to bring glory to Him. You are a walking epistle, right, for showing the power of God in your life. The life that you have is, when people look at you and see the things that you do, they can say that if not for God in this person's life, he would not be able to do this kind of kindness, this kind of love, this kind of gracefulness, mercy. It shows the Christ in you. It is the process of sanctifying your life to overcome. You have to realize that. Back to the word nicer. The E is the excellent work that God requires of you. Your life, wherever you are, the work that you are in, all right, the job that you have, the people that you deal with, God expects excellent results from you. Why? Because of His Holy Spirit in you. I give you an example of. I don't like to talk very much about my work, but many a times when we are faced with challenges at workplace and you deal with people, we have all kinds of people, you know. And the toughest kind to deal with is someone who is not sincere, not truthful, someone who is bias, you know, someone who's in authority, he has a right to tell you what to do, right? But he tell you what to do, he don't do, right? And someone who make what we call decisions that are wrong, and then he realizes he made a mistake, he don't even have the humbleness or the sincerity to apologize, he just run away with it, and then at the end of the day, I have to go after them. Okay? So, this is the kind of world that we are living in. Okay? And it is very sad to say when a person is depressed, okay? It is very scary. Okay? In the period of COVID, due to family conflict between husband and wife, okay? And then the conflict leads to the work. Okay? At the work, everybody to him is not fair to him, you know. And then when he get a bad performance review, right, his flow is stopped. Right? He is so angry. Okay? And the supervisor says, oh, he got anger management problem. I cannot handle him.
So, I don't know, I think the Lord is, they will all come to me, lah. Then they will report to me. I have to go after that. So the how do I put it? The, you know, when King David, he knows what is happening, he knows the things happening done by Absalom, by Joab, and his own children, he can only just go to the Lord, right? What does he do? Can you imagine they were all out to kill Absalom and go and tell them, stand at the gate, and every soldier, please, you know, be kind to him, don't kill him, right? Until nobody dare to touch Absalom, until Joab has to do it, right? So this is how much of mercy and grace and compassion that King David only hoped that, if only, you know. I guess this is something that comes from the love of God in him and the love for the brother. If God can be so kind and so merciful to me to give me a second chance, I'm sure he will give his children another second chance. So who am I, right, King David said, to be the one executing the judgment? And that is how much King David knows the heart of God and how much he understands God. So the brothers and sisters, in order to destroy the righteousness, the process of the Word of God and the Spirit of God going into your life to sanctify you, right, and to really make you submit to him and come to his terms of the Word of God, please approach God in your relationship with God based on the Word of God. Don't bring in your own human understanding, your own reasoning, because if God is willing, right, to strengthen the brethren, give them another chance to learn, what is it in need for you? So to be nicer, the R, right? Okay, you're responsible for your brethren. Okay? The life that we have, the kind of you know, when we look at the amount of revelations that we receive, the truth that we have, and the knowledge that we have. I was testifying to my colleague, you know, when you hear the walls, when you see the earthquake, so I told him that you've got to watch Florida, because the prophet said it was sink. He asked me a question, what's in it for me? Right? He's a Christian, right? But to him, at his age of near retirement, he's having eyesight problem, right? He cannot stare at the screen too much, right? But he's asking, what is it for me? Right? It's a good question. So what is it to you now that we are at this stage, that the Lord has taken our Rangan home, right? What is it for you? You must know the time that you are living in, right? You must ask yourself, is your life right with the Word of God? If God comes, correct? Are you ready to meet him? And then your responsibility is, it's responsible to strengthen your brethren. Correct? This is exactly what the Lord said, right, to Peter? When thou art converted. So, the life that we have, that's why I was very touched by Sister Lucy's song, towards the end of life, we just pray that we will be always kept in the cleft of the Lord, right? In the Lord's hand. Then, we want to be holy to serve him today. We can only, as we age and as we get older, I used to be, I thank the Lord for this experience in the sense that I used to be so involved in the union work in my office, right, that I was the president of the union. Okay? So when you're given the authority and the position, very few people will let go, right? But I mean, thank God that because of the ministry work, and then I give it up. So I hand it over to the new team. While I'm still around, nobody hand over. They only retire out of the job, then they hand over. I hand over. Okay? Then I realize that the pride that is in a person, you know, and the kind of authority, the power, the words are there. You are no more the president, nobody cares about you.
maybe he has done something wrong, that's why he must hand over. They will think all kinds of things against you. And the world is never kind. Okay? But it is the heart that we have, that we told the Lord. I told the Lord that I don't know what I can do. I'm there is to help. And whenever there are problems with the people, I always have to get involved. Okay? And I think, I guess that's my calling to help. Okay? So the issue is, you must know your position, you must know your calling, you must know what is the ministry that the Lord has given you. You have to help. But God is telling you that you have to go through the sieving of the wheat. Right? And it is going to be sieved in such a way that it will push you to your to be oppressed, correct? To be depressed, to be in bitterness. You don't reach that state that what Hezekiah has gone through, then you do not know the Lord. Why? Because it is in that stage that you learn to understand what the Lord is doing. Right? And you know how to be like Hezekiah. Tell the Lord that I wish to praise you more, correct? I wish to give you glory. You know, if I'm in the grave, I cannot do it, correct? But I want to praise you. I want to serve you, right? I want to do my part to worship you, correct? So that is the most important aspect that we must know. So to destroy the works of the devil, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he had made him be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. If you remember the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's talking about the ministry of reconciliation. You can find that in further up in verse, okay, maybe we can read that. Let's go to verse 17. Now, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So this is the part that we must know, that we are made the righteousness of God. The ministry of reconciliation, the role of an ambassador, it's a very difficult role to be an ambassador, right? And the word of reconciliation. So it is indeed something that is deep in my heart, that all of us must remember that our Lord is full of grace and mercy for all of us, right? And in his heart, he wants everyone to be saved. And if he has chosen each and every one of us, we ought to help one another and be responsible for one another. Let's stand. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for thy word of promise. Thank you, Lord, for thy grace and mercy. Oh, we are so blessed, Lord, by thy promises and what you have shown us, Lord, through the life of this King Hezekiah and King David. Father, I pray, Lord, that this time, O God, as we come before you, Lord, let our lives, Lord, be a victory, able to overcome all the works of the devil in throwing all the doubt, despair, right? And all the attacks that is in our life. Help us to know, Lord, that it is exactly all this for our purpose is to help us to be victorious over all these works against us. Lord, the trials and the testing that we have to go through, the afflictions and the sufferings, it is for our purpose. It is for us to know you closer, draw closer to you, to claim and have the faith of God in thy promises to overcome. Father, indeed, Lord, it is we are so grateful and so appreciative of thy word, O God, and thy promises. And most of all, we are very thankful, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, O God, in us. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for Christ in us. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will break down the words further to the hearts of my brethren. As we close, I just thank thee, Lord. May you bless the hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.